Hello, Linden Radio. This is Manuel James Delgado, and you're listening to The Manny Show. Hello, Miss Sana.
Hey.
Welcome to the studio with me again.
Thank you.
Did you have a nice lunch today?
I had an awesome lunch.
You had an awesome lunch. What'd you have?
Good Chinese food.
I'm so glad that there's like an awesome Chinese buffet here for us to go to. Mm-hmm. I thought we were gonna like live like savages because we weren't in Denmark anymore.
Oy.
Oh, that would have been bad. But it was good. So yes, it's Tuesday, Manny Show time. And for this next hour, you will be listening to Sana and me. And we'll be sharing about a topic that we choose every week. We just recently, last week, finished a series that we had on questions and answers. And it went really long.
Yeah, it was like 4 weeks or something.
And we even have some people commenting on it. They're really thankful for it. They got a lot out of it. And one of our new friends in America says they're going through the whole series on it. So that's kind of special. That's really cool. So, but today's topic is about our environment and what is an environment, what's a healthy environment, and how can we help others with their environment. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for that?
I think so. Are you?
Oh, yeah. Had a tough day. My mind's a bit scattered, but we prayed, and so God will just help us to focus in on this. So you are all welcome to join us on the show by commenting on what we're talking about. You can join us on the Facebook live feed, as some of you are already doing. We have a bunch on already. You can listen onto the radio if you're local, like you're doing already, at work, in your car, whatever floats your boat. And you can even stream it.
You can.
Yeah. Very cool. Hey, we were actually supposed to kind of come up with a competition here soon.
I've actually thought about one, but we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about it later.
Oh, yeah. But right. Be ready, people, for a competition soon.
Good times. Cool. All right. So hopefully you go away from today's show encouraged, equipped, comforted in the season that you are in. We will start off with a song, and then we'll jump into the subject. Mm-hmm. So I'll play one of my songs, and then we'll play one of yours later.
Okay. Sounds good.
So this one is by Corin Hawthorne, and it is Enough. Here you go. Enjoy.
You're making me a fighter, fighter. You're taking me higher, higher. You're giving me the strength I need to believe. Life is worth living because you love me. So many people up ahead of me. Feels like I never see the finish line. I hear the voices of the enemy telling me I'll never see the other side. But it's not what they say, it's not what I do that defines who I am. I need your voice, I need your words to remind me again. You're making me a fighter, fighter. You're taking me higher, higher. You're giving me the strength I need to believe. Life is worth living cause you love me. Still know who I'm meant to be. I can overcome anything cause your spirit is alive in me. Only your words can define who I am. I need your voice, I need your words to remind me again. You're making me a fighter, a fighter. You're taking me higher.
Congrats enough, that's enough.
Yes, that was... That's enough! That was enough by Corinne Hawthorne. I hope I said your name right, because that's a really good song. We like you. Yes, we are back. Hello, Miss Santa.
Hey again.
We got a lot of people joining us, saying hello. Welcome to the show, you all. Glad you could join us today on this lovely Tuesday. Honey Bunny, we're talking about environments, but I'm going to be leaving your environment here soon.
Yeah. I'm going to be a...
single
mom. We call
it
a grass widow.
A grass widow?
Yeah, for 11 or 12 days.
Mm.
A grass widow is a woman, or a man, I guess.
Of course.
Is someone whose spouse is out of the country. So it's like they're not dead, but they're not there, you know? So it's a grass widow.
Mm. And there's a lot of that here, because a lot of women are married to sailors.
Therefore, we have a name for it.
Yeah. Yeah. In America, we just call it irresponsible.
Stop it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to California,
mm-hmm.
my home turf. With my boss, also friend, we're going to be going to a work conference and then heading up to my family, hanging out with them. Going to be doing some ministry time too. I'll be preaching, and my friend, because he's just a musical guru, will play a couple songs and share his testimony at a Bible college in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be fun.
You're going to have so much fun.
Yes.
But I told the kids, we're going to have so much fun without you, too. And you are not invited.
I'm fine. Just make sure you video a little chat with me every now and then.
Okay.
All right, cool. All right, so we are talking about environments. And basically, it's just, you know, we're going to talk about the physical, but also the spiritual part of it. Physical, just your surroundings that you're in, and your everyday life that influence the way that you do things and that you are. So, Santa, my question to you is, if you could be like Miss Inspiration right now and have the coolest environment ever created for you, what would it be? Where would it be? What would it look like?
Okay. So picture this. No, I'm just kidding.
Close your eyes, everybody. Just imagine.
I would want to live in a beach house.
Yeah.
Somewhere on a beach.
Hawaii?
Preferably warm beach, yes. Where it's like, yeah, nice and warm to go swimming and stuff like that. And you can see the sunset or sunrise. I like sunrises better.
You'd rather see the sunrise?
Yeah. I'm a sunrise person, even though I'm not a morning person.
Yeah, I saw a picture of our sister-in-law, Lee, because she's from the East Coast of America, and they were at the beach during the summer or sometime, and they were, like, sitting away from the water.
Facing their back, or their back was facing the water.
Yeah, because they wanted to see the sunset.
Yeah.
I was like, because I'm from the West Coast, so we all look at the beach the entire time and watch the sunset. So it was just really foreign for me. So, but I guess that's okay if you want that.
It's okay to be different.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
yeah, so.
Because sunrise means something special to me. I've also shared on Facebook, like, a sunrise to me is always a new promise. A promise from God.
Yeah.
Something new. Anyways.
Okay, so yeah.
So that's my ideal setting
Cool.
But at the same time, I'd also want like a cabin in some Norwegian forest or something like that, where you have the trees and big mountains and stuff like that. So if I could mix the two, that would be great.
Yeah, we have some friends that kind of do that. They spend some of the time here on the Faroe Islands in the cold. And then some of the times down in New Zealand.
Best of both worlds.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds really cool. I don't know. Like, of course I would love to, you know, be on the beach, but I also like urban.
Mm-hmm.
I like city life. I like the noises and the arts and the, I don't know. When you just go into downtown, you just feel like you're like in this artsy type, busy cultural atmosphere, and I really, really dig that.
Like, but not busy though.
No,
not like stressful busy.
No, not
more
at
like
all.
Skater busy.
Yeah, or like downtown Long Beach,
mm-hmm.
right? skyscrapers and lots of restaurants, but you can just walk and enjoy peacefulness because the beach is not too far away from it. And then all of a sudden you hear like live blues or jazz, and that's because there's a cafe with an open air type thing going on, and just you can just walk into there and listen to your favorite music, and then leave and then go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I like to have that in my environment. But I also like, okay, I just want to get away from all and hear the waves crash. So, yeah. I don't know about the cabin in the mountains.
You don't want to go sledding?
Yeah, I guess. I just don't know if I want to make that part of my every year, environment.
That's fine.
That's okay.
To each their own.
I mean, I'm married to you, so I'll put up with it.
Thanks.
I'll endure.
Great.
Yeah, very cool. So, okay, that's like our, think out of the box type thing. But let's think in the box, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have your family, you have your lifestyle, your values, everything that has sculpted you into what you are today. So what is a healthy environment for you, realistically, right now?
And for me personally?
Yeah. And not necessarily a physical thing, but just like what's... Because an environment is something that influences your everyday, so, yeah.
Well, a good environment for me would be somewhere or something where I can, for instance, with work or school, where I can enjoy what I'm doing mm-hmm. daily, where I can be creative. That's a good motivator for me to
mm-hmm.
live a healthy, ideal life, I guess. And a place where I feel at home, and a church that includes me, and where I can use my talents and use my ideas and my life.
Mm-hmm.
And a place that also is a child-friendly place.
Definitely.
Because we love family and we have a lot of kids.
Last night when we went trick-or-treating for the Scandinavian version of Halloween, which is mm-hmm. even older than Halloween, so anyways, should be the other way around.
Everything here is older than over there in the States, actually.
Ours is just more exciting. No, I'm just kidding. But it was child-friendly where we were.
It was very
child-friendly. It was so nice to just let the kids run around and not worry about cars running them over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I totally dig the child-friendly environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. I think for me as well, I would like an environment where I can really use my... like my passions and mm-hmm. the things that I want to do. There's just so many different avenues for me to use them. So I really enjoyed, for example, when we were in Copenhagen and there was a lot of things that were hindering me from doing so visa wise. Like I couldn't work, so mm-hmm. I couldn't do a normal thing, but there was still so much going on in the city, that I can still fill my days up doing things.
Volunteer work.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that was really, really cool. I could imagine if I was not allowed to work and I was here on the Faroe Islands, whoa, I'd be freaking out.
Well, you could always start something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's changing your environment. That's starting something.
Yeah,
new.
Exactly. So, but yeah, I enjoy having an atmosphere where, okay, I see a need and let's go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And also an environment where I can enjoy family.
Yeah.
So I don't care where in the world we are actually nowadays, as long as my family can thrive and have a good time and we can share, sounds a bit, like I'm shining my halo, but share the love of God.
Yeah. And where there are good people.
Mm-hmm. Like-minded people, maybe.
Or just fun and... because not everyone needs to be like-minded, but just different people, interesting mm-hmm. people, people that want to be our friends.
Does anyone want to be our friends out there?
We want friends.
You can write us a private message.
Yeah, so.
Very cool, very cool. All right, cool. So I wrote an article or a blog on my website about environment. And actually, this was a speech that I gave a couple of years ago at a men's retreat, and they asked me to speak about environments, you know, and healthy ones, not so healthy ones. How can we have a healthy one? How can we change others? So we're going to kind of dig into that with a scripture basis on Jesus, one of Jesus's parables about the farmer throwing the seed on different types of soil. And so our hope here today for those that are listening is that you can gain some tools or be challenged to see, okay, am I creating an environment where God's word, which creates life and brings everlasting value, can grow and have deep roots in our life and bless everyone around us? Okay, so that's our goal. So we're going to, you know, we'll read a part of the parable, and then we'll just talk about what we think that is, how that relates to us today.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But we have a song request.
From me?
No, actually. Someone wrote me.
That's awesome.
Am I allowed to play that song before?
Okay, can play that one first.
So someone wrote in.
Nice.
Wow. And they requested Citizens of Heaven by Torn Wells. So we're going to play that song real quick, and then we'll be back. Here you go. Enjoy.
In the here and now, has a tendency to wear me down. Am I really free if I'm thinking about only temporary things? The world's screaming so loud when I'm locked in the middle of my doubt. When I'm lost in the rhythm of the crowd, I hear heaven calling me. Don't wanna be another victim, falling prey to the system. When you've called me into the kingdom. Clouds. You made the soul to be glory bound. I can hardly keep my feet on the ground, 'cause I know I will be free. Lord, would you open up the gates wide? Gonna step into a new life. No way I'm ever leaving your side. Oh, I know I am a citizen of heaven. My eternity forever is yours.
There you go.
Good song.
Yeah, thank you for requesting a song.
That Keep them coming.
Torn Wells with Citizens of Heaven. I really was thinking it was going to be a different song. I don't know why I thought it was a different song. That was a really cool one. I liked it.
You're always so surprised that other people can find good songs.
Yeah, I'm like, wow. No, I'm not. Okay, so if you're just joining us, our topic for today here on The Manny Show on Linden Radio is environments. And before the song, we kind of just used our imagination and talked about what would be a really fun environment to have. And then also, reality-wise, what do we want for the type of people that we are right now and the things in our lives, our passions and stuff, what kind of environment would we enjoy being in right now? Mm-hmm. Yes? And so now we're back, and I want to read a passage from Jesus, which I believe talks about the different types of environments. And like I said, we want to help you as well as ourselves. This is like we're speaking to ourselves. We want to create an environment where God's word, which is living and active, which creates life, which transforms lives, which empowers, which does all kinds of other things, can get deep roots into our everyday life. Shazam!
Woo-hoo!
I just blew up into something else because Shazam. Never mind. All right, so I'm going to read this passage to you all. Are you ready? Let me just find it because I was scrolling. All right, this is Mark 4, and I'm just going to read verses 3 to 8 first. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." So my question to us about this passage, because there is an application afterwards that Jesus gives, but I want to talk about it in the now. You know, what do we think if we do know that the seed is God's word,
mm-hmm.
okay, and God's desire for his word is to grow in our life, to help us grow into what he created us to be. So with these different analogies, Sana, what do we think in today's situation when God's word gets thrown on us? For example, the first one, it fell and the birds came and ate it up quickly, so it didn't even have time to take root. How does that look like, you think, in today's life with somebody receiving, hearing God's word or something?
Well, I would say that it's someone that hears the word of God
mm-hmm.
in a church or other places. And doesn't really care, or for some reason doesn't apply it, or doesn't get much from it, you know, like
mm-hmm.
doesn't accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just, yeah, doesn't bother that person's day. I don't know what to call it. Doesn't change anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've had some youth that I worked with in Denmark. And I'm maybe getting the definitions wrong, but then there's the, what are the names of those that don't believe in God? Atheists, right? That's the terminology for those that don't believe that there is a God.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, I think, a phrase called agnostic, and that's, they don't care if there is a God. Even if there was a God proven, they just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and I had some of my teens that I was working with in this youth club, they said, you know, he said, "I'm an agnostic man. You, even if you prove to me that God does exist, I don't really care. I'm happy with my life." And that, I was just like really thrown off that way. And then I looked up the word and I was like, wow, there really is people like this. You know, I mean, and I've heard loads and loads of stories of people, you know, being healed from their sicknesses, like physical sicknesses, whatever. And they were so upset about it because then they knew that God was real and they didn't want him to be real. They were fine with the lives that they were living.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this kind of goes into that category. Like you were saying, they hear the word of God or they experience it even. And they're just like, yeah, yeah. But
they dismiss it.
Yeah. I don't want that to be rooted in my life. I think I told you a story about my dad. One time he was working at a grocery store when he was young, mm-hmm. and new Christian, and there were some other Christians in the store, and during their breaks they would have Bible studies. And one boy who was an atheist, he said, got really annoyed that they'd have the Bible studies and would always like walk by them and say stupid stuff. And everyone would try to argue with him about proving that God was real, and the guy just didn't care. And my dad never tried to argue with him. And the guy finally went up to my dad and says, you know, what about you? What are you going to, how are you going to prove to me that God is real? And then my dad felt compelled to stand up and just, with his finger, press against his forehead. And then he just said, in Jesus' name. Just touched his forehead with the finger, right? And then the guy, my dad said, the guy just, he was like stuck there. He couldn't move. It was like he was in this trance or something. He just couldn't move. Break was over. My dad went back to work. He was done with the shift, came back in to get his stuff. The guy was still standing there. Finally went home, didn't come back for a few days. And when he came back, he started yelling at my dad, how could you do that to me? My whole life is turned around. I never believed in God, and now I know he's real, and I don't want him to be. You know, it's like, ah! And that's just so, so intense that people want to be that stubborn about this whole God thing. They don't want him to be real. Mm-hmm. So no matter how we bring the word of God, whether it's just through preaching or whether it's through experience, they don't want it to get rooted in their life. That's tough.
Yeah.
So that's the first analogy. And then the second one is rocky soil.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not, the soil is not that deep, or the roots can't grow that deep, so it grows up fast, but then as soon as the sun comes, it withers the plant away and then it dies.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that looks like today?
I think that's people that hear the word of God, mm-hmm. get saved and really passionate,
mm-hmm.
And they start like going 100%. For what God wants them to do. Like, we need to change lives, we need to save people, we need to do all these things. And then, maybe a few months later, they're gone. You know, back into their old life. And
I know that all too well.
So I think that's more of a, where it's the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are so wrapped up in the feeling of being saved.
Yeah.
That you're not focused on making... Or setting roots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that a lot.
Yeah.
I've seen it both the extreme with when I was in Teen Challenge with people with the same background as me, addicted to drugs, and we go into this program, and they're so excited about what Jesus is doing in their life, and they're going super fast pace. And then they think, oh, I'm fine. You know, I don't need this environment anymore. I'm just going to go back into the world and get people saved. And they fall so fast because it's based on feelings and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
No deep roots. They go back into the world and they're not ready. Heartbreaking. Even some youth that I've worked with here in Scandinavia like that too. So that's a tough one. I think it's more frustrating for me to work with or to have relationships with people that are like that, because you're just like, come on, you just want to shake them. Like, you're not... Like, stop making decisions based on, you know, like a roller coaster. When you're up, you want to make a decision. When you're down, you got to make another decision. It's like, keep your eyes, you know, on God and let him do a work in you and just wait on him.
Hmm.
So, that's a tough one. So, okay. And then the third one is it grows, it roots. But it grows up with a bunch of like thorns and stuff around it. And so it gets choked out and it can never rise above.
Mm-hmm. That's when you are a proud Christian, I guess. But then that circumstances and other people or, I don't know, other things. battles, you know, like spiritual battles and stuff like that, like that breaks you down or it tires you out. So you kind of, the faith dies.
I look at it like, cause if it's, you know, it gets suffocated, You know, your faith gets suffocated because of the thorns and all the things around just growing, and you're not allowed to, like, spread your wings and fly like an eagle. You're not able to just grow and enjoy the sun and enjoy the beauty of everything around because you're just constantly just choked out with the things around you. I think one of the things is the love of money, materialistic things. If you're one of those that really enjoy or covet materialistic things, it's never enough. Mm-hmm. And the more you get, the more it just chokes anything else out because you're using all of your energy, all of your time, everything to get more stuff. And so it's really just choking out the life that God has for you, a free life, an open life.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I kind of see it that way. Those are the different ways. And then the good one, the good soil that produces a harvest of fruit 30 times, 60 times, sometimes even 100. What does that look like today?
That is someone that is living their life how God wanted them or wants them to. Mm. Someone that roots themselves in God and in the Bible. And pray and, get to know God and, talk to Him.
I like how it gives a different number percentage. And sometimes 30%, sometimes 60, sometimes 100. And I think that a lot of times we base the harvest on people, you know, how many people are getting saved around us. It's not our job to save people. It's our job just to love and disciple people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the number probably, for me at least, I see it as how many people are you influencing around you?
Or how are you influencing?
How we're influencing them. Yeah. With the roots of God's word in our life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Because I don't think that God is going to ask us how many people did you influence.
Not. I don't know.
Maybe. But I think he's more interested in how we influence people.
Yeah, exactly. I know he's not going to ask us how many people did we get saved. Because if that were the case, Billy Graham would win. He would be number one. No. Cool. We got some compliments.
Comments.
Comments, thank you. There's no such thing as atheists in foxholes from war vets who prayed. Oh, God, save us. Nice. Okay, we're going to play a song and we're going to come back and answer some more, talk more about this. Mm-hmm. But right now, we just talked about the passage, the parable of the farmer throwing the seed and what we see personally as how that looks for people today. But now we're going to play a song that you requested.
Oh, yes. And that is Oasis from Cali.
Going back to Cali. Cali, no?
I think she is in California.
Cool. All right, here we go. Enjoy.
You are my ecosystem. You are the air I'm breathing. In the endless wasteland, you are my rushing fountain. You are my ecosystem. No matter what the weather, you are my better option. No matter what I'm facing, you are water and I thirst no more. You're holding my arms when I'm battle torn. Oasis within me, you're the oasis within me. You are colors in the sky after 40 rains. In the thick of the night, you're the break of day. Oasis within me, you're the oasis within me. You are the thing I've needed in each and every season. And I really mean it. Yeah, I really mean it. And you are water from the rock and I'll thirst no more. You're holding. I It's you. You are my escape. You are water from my rock, and I'll thirst no more. You're holding my arms when I'm battle torn. Oasis within me. You're the oasis within me. You are colors in the sky after 40 rains. In the thick of the night, you're the break of day.
And that was Kelly, singing Oasis. Special request from my wife. There you go. So we got a quick question from somebody in Texas. We're going to be going to Texas, for those that are listening, for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And some people have asked, well, what about the Manny Show?
Well, fear not.
Fear not. Also, someone from Texas is asking us, will you do the show from Texas? And the answer is, drum roll please, yes.
I was going to say, most definitely.
We are trying to figure out a way, but we are going to, because of the time difference, of course, we will do the Facebook live stream while we're, you know, doing the show. But for the locals here on the Faroe Islands, you'll be able to enjoy the Facebook live stream, but it'll probably be on a different day. Because of the time difference, but the airing of the Manny Show from 3:30 to 4:30 every Tuesday.
So what you're trying to say is that it will go as normal. It will just not be live, but it will be live on the Linden Radio Facebook page.
Yeah, just a different time though.
Different times, but you could always go in and watch it when you want to.
Yeah. So fret not. You can still listen to the Manny Show every Tuesday from 3:30 to 4:30. There just will not be a Facebook Live. Sorry.
That was Manuel's
way of explaining things. All is good. So, yes. So, we have to find like a really decent studio setup, though, while we're out there.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Just sit at a park and do it.
Why not? And we're going to be interviewing people from out there as well.
Oh, yes. And you guys can follow our journey over there for the 3 months we're there.
Yeah. So it's going to be good. Cool beans. All right. So back to environment. So we talked about, what our environment could be if we could do anything we want. Then the reality of it. Then we shared a parable in the Bible that Jesus spoke about concerning environment, with having a healthy soil to have God's word. What kind of environment do we have for God's word to grow in? And there was different analogies. So if we, as believers of God's word, mm-hmm. all right, see ourselves having an environment that's not maybe the best for God's word to grow in and for us to grow in ourselves with God's word in our life, what can we do? You know, to change this, you know, mm-hmm. this environment that might not be healthier, that could be better. What can we do, Santa, to?
Well, if we already know and we want to change it, then it's really good. Or if we want to create a new environment, because mm-hmm. we can also create our own environment.
Yeah.
We need to root ourselves in God, in the Word, in the Bible, by praying and by reading the word. And we need to have people around us that will encourage us, that want the best for us. We have people around us that can share life with us and share thoughts with us, and where we can actually share our thoughts with them. And what else?
Yeah. I think one of the first stages that we need to start with is acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we, it's this way because of this circumstance, or because I'm just going through a lot right now, or I don't have the time, or, you know, whatever it is. And we make excuses for why we don't have the healthiest environment. And so then we prolong the transformation that God wants to do.
Yeah.
So the first thing to do is say, okay, be real with yourself, be honest with yourself. And like my wife said, you know, make sure that you have people around you that can also speak the truth and say, hey, look, your lifestyle is not the best. Just being real with you. But I'm here also to help you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so important to have people around you like that, because a lot of times, not only do we not acknowledge the problems, but we try and hide from anyone trying to help us. So then it's like a double negative, you know, we're not accepting that we have an unhealthy environment, and we're not accepting any help or anyone from the outside acknowledging it too, because we're not ready to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I did that for many years. You know, I knew the lifestyle. I always believed in God because I grew up in a Christian family and I knew he was real and I experienced him when I was little. But the lifestyle that I chose with addictions and living away from, you know, Christ-like people and staying away from my family, I was running away from people speaking into my life, and I didn't want to accept that my lifestyle was wrong. I said, no, it went bad this time because of that circumstance. So let me try it again this way. It'll be better.
I can do it. But in reality,
yeah,
you cannot do everything.
No, not at all.
Not alone.
So I think, like, you know, the first step is acknowledging. And the second step is, like you said, you know, get tight with God. Mm-hmm. Get into the word, get into the prayer, the basics. Get around people that believe in you and that will be truthful to you. And those are like, oh, yeah, I learned that in Sunday school. I know I need to read my Bible and pray. Well, if you know, then why aren't you doing it?
Mm-hmm. And I get it. I mean, sometimes it's really hard to just, what do you call it? Like discipline.
Yeah.
Like how self-discipline, where you actually do the things that you don't think are fun right in the moment. I have a hard time with that often. Instead of reading the Bible or just sitting there praying, I like to put on a movie or something like that, mm-hmm. you know. And
yeah.
But we need to just discipline ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, how can we know? Like, those are the basics, you know, like you said, getting into God's word, praying, and being around other believers. Those mm-hmm. are the three essentials. But they help us understand God's purpose for our life.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to be able to say we're one of those, with the analogy, where we're being choked out by materialistic things or whatever, the things of this life, you know, how are we going to be able to chop that all away, you know, if we're not using the tools to chop that stuff away, God's word, prayer, and people around us, so that we can see, oh, this is what we've been missing. We had all these things blinding us and choking out our life with God, his purpose. And now that we're getting that stuff is not so important to us, and it's withering away. We're not watering that. We're not taking care of the, you know, those thorny bushes. So they're dying away. We're actually able to grow and see, ah, so this is what God had planned for us. Now I see, you know, but if we don't do those disciplinary things, disciplining ourselves to do that, then we can't expect to get results.
No, because we need to do it like consistently. Because
mm-hmm.
if we just sporadically
yeah.
go out into our garden, as in our like life with God,
mm-hmm.
and just pull out the weeds, and then we go back, and then we don't look at it again, and then the weeds are there the next time we come out into the garden. So it's better to consistently be out in the garden, praying and preparing the landscape
yeah.
for bigger things.
It's kind of like our car. If I don't clean it every week, it looks like it does right now.
We cleaned it. You cleaned it not too long ago. But then yesterday we had our trick-or-treating, and then all of a sudden our car is full of candy wrappers. Like, I think we were in the car for like 5 minutes or something.
Woo.
Anyways.
Yeah. I think that's I think that's the best. I think Jesus, if he was sharing parables today, he would use our car as a parable. Yeah. The Delgados family car is like seed being thrown on blah, blah, blah. Anyways, yeah. So that's, I believe, and I'm sorry if this sounds so basic to you people, but we believe that, those are the essentials that you need. If you see your environment not being the healthiest, in that you're realizing, wow, I've lost my view of what God's purpose is for my life, then get into His Word, because His Word is living and active. Get into prayer, because that's your communication. And it's not a prayer where, God, you need to fix this. I need that. I need this. It's like, God, I need to hear from you. Mm-hmm. Fill me with your wisdom, you know. And then talk with other people that have, you know, the faith, that are living active lives with Jesus, because they probably have gone through the same thing that you've gone through before, and they can help you. And it's not about them condemning what you're doing or bringing shame on you, but it's about, you know, bringing the truth and love and helping to build you back up. So important.
And sometimes we can actually be put in an environment. Maybe that's not ideal, but we are there to change it. And then we need to not let the environment that we are put in influence us, but we can influence the environment by looking above it and, like, let God, keep our eyes on God instead of keeping our eyes on the environments that are coming closer and closer.
Which actually leads us to the next point, because how can we help change, you know, other people's environment if our environment is healthy? We need to be the influencers. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what God has called us to be, to go and change culture, to go and make disciples.
So we need to be all YouTubers now if we're influencers?
Boom! No, thanks.
No. Anyways, it's just a word for the people on YouTube.
Yeah, but how can we help change other people's environments? Say we have a healthy view of God's purpose for our life, and we have a consistent, ongoing, life-thriving relationship with Him, and then He puts us into an environment that He's saying, that environment I'm putting you in is not to influence you, but for you to influence it. How can we influence that environment for those that want to be influencers?
Relationship.
Yeah.
To get to know the other people there, and to understand them, and then to be like, kind of develop this mentor-mentee thing, discipleship. Yeah. So just like, it's for us really important to have people around us that can help us in our environment. It's just as important that we can be those people for other people.
I think an important thing is that we need to be an example of the environment that we want to bring. I got the nicest compliment, I think it was last night or the other night. We've been at your family's house a couple of days now, and they said that that at the night job that I'm doing, that I'm doing such a great job, and people love that I'm there. Not only the elderly that are living there, but the workers. And I did things there intentional from the beginning when I used to work there a lot, and even just with the weekends, I would pray every time, saying, God, let me bring your joy and your love, your peace. Let me work here like I'm working unto you. This is my prayer that I would ask Him for, to help me with. And let me work well with whoever I'm working with. And let me love on the elderly, because this is their, you know, last years, last days, last months, whatever. So I just wanted to do what I can. And I've gotten so many compliments about, like, whenever I come, some of the elderly that have issues of different kind, when I'm around, they're so peaceful. They just calm down, and they just seem to enjoy my presence. A couple of them, they just you know, with their eyes, they follow me everywhere I go in their room to see what I'm doing. And they're not angry. When I come close to them and say what I'm going to do, they're like, okay, no problem. A couple of them, I get to have what we call Drakamon, which is like tea time.
And tea time.
Tea time. And I get to just sit with them. And I think I've heard their stories a lot of time because they forget that they tell me the stories. Mm-hmm. But I just sit there and listen and then share about my family, which I've also told them about many times. But it's okay because it brings them peace and then they're able to sleep. And it's just really nice to know that that I'm being the example, you know, that I want to have there. You know, this is the environment I want to bring. Therefore, I must bring it. Not just say, okay, God, you need to make it peaceful over there. Okay, well, then bring the peace. You know, and that goes with all of us. When we know what God wants in a situation, then bring it. He's given us, the, you know, everything that we need to do it.
We need to be what we want to see.
Need to be what we want to see. Exactly. And then the other thing is, and I think that I would like us to get better at this. And I know it's tough for us because we don't have our own home and stuff. But we want to be a family that's hospitable. Mm-hmm. Right? And how can we be hospitable to people if we're not available or inviting people? And we do. But I would like to challenge us to keep on doing that, even when it's difficult. And even though our circumstances limit us, you know, I want us to take every chance that we do get. Okay, you know, we actually have the place to ourselves, but we're just so tired from a tough week. Let's just have, you know, us time. You know, and that's also very important too. But when God puts somebody on our heart to invite and we say no because we need, you know, downtime, then I think that we're not taking up the challenge. And that goes for anyone listening. You know, if God is, you know, this is from God, God has put it on your heart to do something, to be available for someone, and you're making excuses because of your circumstances, because of your environment that you have around you at that time. You know, we need to be available as believers because we have something to bring. So, and then the final one is being submissive to the body of Christ. And how do you think that looks like if we want to change our environment and say, you know, we belong to City Church, but we want to change the environment of Tuarshan. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be submissive to the body of Christ in that circumstance? You know what I mean? We have a perfect example, the family day, right? We did an awesome event with most of the churches here in Tórshavn. If we would have just went to one church and said, let's do this, do you think it would have had the same impact on the city that it had?
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. I don't think so at all. But because we realized we needed to be submissive to the whole body of Christ and invite everybody and have them all join in, we reached well over 1,000 people. And had so many people volunteering. It was just a huge success. And the city acknowledged it. It was just such a blessing. And things like that can only happen if we submit to the whole body of Christ and say, okay, yeah, they might have a little bit of a different theology, or their worship style is much different than ours and whatever. Or they look at communion like this and we enjoy it like this. And then we say, so we can't really partner with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It doesn't work that way. So I think if we want to change our environment for others, these are the things. Be an example of what you want to bring. Be available to bring it. And include, be submissive to the whole body of Christ so that we can do it together. Remember Heidi Baker?
Mm-hmm.
I remember her sharing a story. Maybe it was in the book I read of hers, or she shared it. Doesn't matter. But she got a vision of a fishing net. And she was like, oh God, you know, do I need to do more discipling? Do I need to go out to more villages in Mozambique? Because she's, you know, reaching a lot of people, but she's always thinking she needs to do more because she loves the people there so much. Mm-hmm. And God goes, no, that's not what I'm trying to show you. And then in the vision, it zoomed into just one square of the fish net and said that that's your ministry, you know, and then zoom back out. This is the body of Christ. Make sure that you're connected to the whole fishnet, because if you're not connected to them, then there's a hole and fish are going to get through. And it was just like an eye opener for her. And she realized she needed to bring what she has experienced to other ministries so that they can all influence each other and work together better. That was pretty cool. So I really believe that's something that we need to work on more as a body of Christ.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Do more in unity.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Cool. Well, should we play a song and then come back and pray?
Mm-hmm.
All right. If you have any comments to what we're saying, feel free to join in on this. And we love you guys. Thank you for your song requests and for listening to us. Here's a song by Anthony Evans, his version of Raise a Hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than my unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I praise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. Hear my praises roar.
Anthony Evans with the Raise a Hallelujah gospel version. Did you like that version?
It's different. It was fine.
It was different. It's really cool. I've been listening to gospel all day today, so at work, so I was inspired. So we got one comment on the, we were talking about hospitality. Mm-hmm. The thing that we want to influence people with is being hospitable. And our friend from Texas wrote, it isn't always, you're not always able to be hospitable. Maybe you don't have the resources or all the things that you need. So sometimes just inviting them to a park or just hanging out with them. That's mm-hmm. also, you don't have to be, full service availability to be hospitable. Just being with people and hanging out. And
yeah.
We don't have the best of weather here all year round, so we can't always go to a park, but there's other things that we can do. Anyways, thank you for joining us, and we love you guys. Just going to close in prayer, and we'll see you next week. Actually, I will be gone. I'll be in California, so there will be no Manny Show live next week. There'll be a recording. So, anyways, Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, your grace, your presence. We just want to thank you that you're so patient with us. And I love that even though we start creating an environment that maybe is not the healthiest, that you can help us to make it healthy again. You can, you know, the first thing is just acknowledging that our environment is not the healthiest and coming to you, seeking you consistently to help us so that we can see the picture, the purpose that you have had for our lives. Maybe we've been blinded by circumstances of this life, things that we couldn't control that just overwhelmed us. You know, I'm not excusing anything away and I'm not putting down people that have not been close to you. I'm just saying now is the time. You're calling for your people and may we respond and allow you to transform our environment so that we can help others transform theirs. We love you so much. Be with us through this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us, y'all. Take care. Have a great week.